It's never been easier to be a creator. Tools are becoming more and more accessible for anyone to use.
Hey friend, it's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn, here at the Portfolio Career Podcast to help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. Today's conversation is with Catherine Yeo, the author of The Creative Revolution. In this episode with Catherine, you'll learn why now is a great time to be a creator, how to think of yourself as a business as a creator, how and why Catherine wrote her book, The Creative Revolution, and other trends for creators in the creator economy. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and FriendSource job opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Catherine. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, David.
So we were talking about content creation and creators. I have a feeling that's probably before we started. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about that for a little while on this episode. But I guess as we're kind of getting started and stuff, like what about content creation and kind of the creator economy are you like most excited about these days?
Yeah, so these days, I think I'm most excited about seeing how technology can empower the long tail of creators, not just the top 1% of creators, the Mr. Beast and Emma Chamberlains of the world that we hear a lot about in the media, or that a lot of previous great creator economy tools have seemed to assist and help out on. I'm excited to see how more tools and systems and even infrastructure from existing social platforms can really grow and empower just any individual out there to become a creator and help them reach their goals as a creator.
Any individual.
Yeah.
Even indies like myself, huh?
You just said you've recorded what 200 something episodes. That's so remarkable, and I think you're not giving yourself enough credit as just an indie creator.
Too kind. And do you think, and I do want to talk about more about this idea around kind of creators' goals and how anyone can create. And but do you think now is like a good time to be a creator?
I think so. Yes, it's never been easier to be a creator. Tools are becoming more and more accessible for anyone to use. Like look how much lower the barrier to entry to like video creation that TikTok has enabled everyone. At the same time, you can say content is growing increasingly more saturated, that it's harder to get noticed out there, which is definitely a factor. But I think just for anyone to get started, it's so easy these days. There's so many platforms or tools to help you get there, get started in some way, and you just have to go ahead and try.
Yeah. And can you maybe share about how kind of you got started? Because I think it's a really fascinating story.
Yeah. So I was a creator in the world of writing fiction and art. You might notice on my walls there are a lot of Star Wars posters behind me. I was a very big Star Wars nerd and used to write a lot of fan fiction. And that grew into like original fiction and art, although that started in fandom communities. And all these fandoms had a very big presence on sites like Tumblr, Wattpad, AO3. So I used to publish a lot of writing and art there. Grew to, I think at my peak, I had like a following of 400,000. And at the time, I didn't realize I was a creator, but I knew I had something special. It was kind of my first business too. I reached a point where I could monetize my hobby. And even through my first year of college, I was still shipping out pieces of art from my dorm. So I really loved the process. And I knew that it was something was happening, that like social media and a lot of these creator tools and technologies were able to empower individual creatives like me and a lot of my friends I met online to get started and build an audience and monetize, turn our craft into a business. So that's kind of my story as a creator, and how that led me to writing a book about creators titled The Creator Revolution here. How the journey led to me writing this book is that I because of my background as a creator, I've been so interested in the space. And given my technical background too, I was really following all of these technologies and the evolution of the tools out there that were seeking to help individuals as creators. And so been tracking it for many years. And at the start of quarantine, I think something changed where at with the onset of the pandemic, people at home in these lockdowns, everyone was both consuming and creating content at explosive levels. So I thought it'd be super cool to sit down, maybe interview hundreds of creators, founders, investors, anyone in this space, and write about the insights and stories I learned. So got to share a lot of stories and about voices of creators you don't really hear about across a lot of domains and niches. So that was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed and treasured the process of writing and launching the book, and as well as the people I got to meet through it,
Yeah,
including
love
you, actually.
it. Thank you. And so I guess there's two parts. I definitely want to talk more about, how you talked about how you started your journey and then turned it into, kind of a business. And then also, the book writing, what the book's about and the book writing process. Maybe on the book writing process part and talking to other creators, what kind of surprised you or what kind of stood out to you that maybe did make it into the book or didn't make it into the book?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can start with what made it into the book. I think what surprised me is I had a good idea as a creator myself, and as someone who spends way too much time like reading people's Substacks or watching YouTube and TikTok, I had a pretty good idea of like what kind of narratives are out there for creators or what could creators do. But I think what surprised me is when I talked to so many different creators across a variety of backgrounds, topics, ideas. It really shocked me to see how many different stories and voices out there were. That people had vastly different experiences, but at the end of the day, they saw content creation as like changing their lives in really beneficial ways, but that really differed. So, one of my favorite interviews from the book, and I use this example a lot. It might sound repetitive, but I just love talking to her. Is a teacher called Claudine James. She's a 54-year-old middle school English teacher, and she's like not the demographic you'd expect to be making content on TikTok. But she I think has definitely over 3 million followers on TikTok these days. It has been growing enormously rapidly since I last chatted with her. And she just teaches grammar lessons on TikTok, and she sees it as just an extension of her role as an educator, like going from teaching 22 students in her classroom to tens of millions of people online, and she loves it. Like she just sees it as a more scalable way for her to teach, and which is a vastly different story from like Indigenous creators I chatted with who saw their platform or social media as a way to share their authentic stories as an indigenous individual, where like their stories are often not shared in the broader media, and they get to reflect a more genuine presentation and authentic storytelling of the lives they live. So it's there's so many different stories out there, and the impact or the tools that content creation gave them. I was just really surprised to hear such a diverse array of experiences. When you think like content creation is one path, it really is thousands, millions of paths that have very different roads for everyone, but ultimately brought some form of impact and influence to a lot of these individuals. And it's up to each person to see how they want to take that power.
Sounds like it's a personal thing that you can kind of create your own path from it. And sounds like it can either be, turn into like a business or it can turn into, you kind of never know sometimes, like once you start putting stuff out there. And how do you kind of break out different categories? Is there people that think of content creation as part of like creating a business or as, expression or as a side hustle or as, how do you kind of think about some of that, Catherine?
Yeah, that's a really good question. How I kind of structured my book around this idea of categorization is I divided creators into like broadly two kinds of approaches. One is how the impact of how creators are transforming our society at like an economic and future of work level, at a shopping level, which is like with the rise of like product influencers, at an education level with, educators or knowledge creators, as I like to call them, or at a decentralizing media level. You see a lot of journalists leaving traditional print or newspaper or print journalism and going to start their own kind of creator channels. Like I was thinking of like one side is how creators are reshaping our society at a high level, and the other side is how creators are transforming their own selves as individuals. And that's kind of where you talked about creators can build their own personal brand. They can control their narrative and outcome, whether it's using content to break into traditional careers to get noticed by companies or break into industries they've struggled to enter. And lots of examples in the tech and startup world too, where you see people writing posts on Twitter or LinkedIn or creating TikTok videos to get noticed and break into new companies and industries. It's been fascinating to watch. Or creators using their platforms to build their own more autonomous lifestyles, like as a full-time creator or launching a product line as an entrepreneur. I see a creator as their own business at the end of the day. They are their own brand. So it's been very interesting to see how they take this going forward. So it's like and kind of the sub goals you mentioned, or like some creators definitely are doing this more for fun, for entertainment, for expression. I think it's all wrapped under these categories, where whether they're doing it more for at like a societal impact level or for themselves, it's interwoven between.
Yeah. And so, okay, so that's interesting. So there's like how it impacts society, and then there also like how it can, kind of personally help someone. And you mentioned a little bit about how like posting content online can advance people's careers and stuff like that. And the podcast has definitely kind of helped me with find new projects and stuff like that, and kind of meet new people and stuff. And I agree. Like, I love when you see that stuff like on Twitter or whatever, where like someone posts and says, like, hey, I'm looking for this job. And then like all of a sudden, like it somehow just like snowballs into like a bunch of different comments. And I'm sure they get a lot of like DMs or whatever. But that's kind of like building it up kind of until like a moment where there's like an ask or something like that. Are you able to share a little bit about that, of how like sometimes you can be creating content and then like not really know what you're kind of building or the like impact that you're making, and then all of a sudden, until you either launch a product or make an ask, or are you able to talk a little bit about that if that?
I think that's a really interesting question, and definitely a question that a lot of people kind of try to navigate when they don't see themselves as an active or intentional creator. They're kind of just publishing content online for their own purpose, or I don't know, for their own enjoyment and expression. And they've kind of stumbled into realizing, oh, they have an audience or network there that's willing to support them, or when you make such an ask, that's willing to help them in delivering that ask. And I guess kind of that spark, I think, exists for a lot of people who are deciding whether they want to make the jump to being a more intentional creator. I think I see intentionality and consistency as really key criteria for being a creator. And so kind of before you make that jump, you might just be someone using social media or using these platforms. You have a voice on the platforms, but you're not fully there as a creator yet.
Intentionality and consistency.
Yeah, I see them as two of the important criteria.
Are you able to share a little bit more about the intentionality piece? Like consistency, I can see of like, hey, for me, it's a weekly podcast. So I knock on wood, weekly show over and over and over again. You talk a little bit about like what intentionality might mean for someone and how they may be able to apply it.
I think like, publishing like one or two tweets here and there, or people post their life milestones on Facebook and Instagram. Like, yes, you are using these platforms, but I don't see these actions as automatically making you a creator. I see creators needing to be intentional about their craft as a creator, and that they should intentionally strive to improve their content and augment their growth over time. So that kind of goes hand in hand with consistency. Like when you are consistent, you're showing that you're intentional. And so I see these as pretty important parts of being a creator. I also like in my book, I describe some other characteristics in combination with one of Li Jin's early essays of what makes a creator. Like value creation is definitely a big thing for what makes a content creator. Like what kind of value are they generating for their audience, whether it's like entertainment or education, inspiration, like what impact and use are you generating through your content, and what tangible value are your fans or audience deriving from it? So a lot of smaller things to consider in this area. And because I know it seems like it's really easy to pinpoint who a creator is, but if you break it down, I think there is a more structured way to identify who fits under the umbrella of creators.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about like how to, the importance of intentionality and consistency. You mentioned earlier about like the time is, now is one of the better times, or if not the best time, because of the tools and stuff. But then there was also this kind of increase in supply and demand and interest during the pandemic. Is there anything more to like kind of like the moment that we're in now as to, why people should maybe like consider being more intentional or like take their content more seriously?
I think the easiest way to answer that is that there's no downside to publishing content. If you decide that being a creator isn't for you, totally okay. You can pause, or archive all your content, or I don't know, change the format of your content, give it a try, experiment what works, what doesn't. Kind of like how startups have to find their product market fit. Maybe as a creator, you have to find your creator market fit or creator audience fit. And take your time to find the balance between like your enjoyment as a creator, what your audience likes, and what makes sense for you in terms of your lifestyle or business model and all that. So I just don't see there being a downside. Like if you have goals, like whether it's, I don't know, to grow your products, like marketing presence, or you want to build your personal brand as a thought leader in this topic, or you want to reflect and document your life more, just both for your personal sake and maybe sharing it with your friends or maybe more. Like I don't see there being a downside, but it's also totally valid. You don't have to be so online with a public persona. It's totally okay if that's not for you.
Yeah. And so you talked about how like you kind of got started and it turned into a business. And I'm curious, like after you've written the book, like what's been kind of unexpected to you in terms of either projects or opportunities or relationships or audience, like after like kind of putting all your time into and creating a book, like I think not to say people need to see outcomes, but just more kind of curious as to like, kind of what were some of like the results after kind of creating this project?
Yeah, I know people are probably expecting you probably expect like cool answers like I don't or like oh my book helped me like give a TED talk or like all these cool opportunities. But for me, I think I've really valued the collaborations and people I've got to meet, like both in writing the book and after launching the book, whether it's people who I've spoken with on podcasts or I've like helped in guest writing invitations, like work with some startups in the area and have learned a lot working with a lot of really great people in the space. And a lot of these collaborations with other creators, entrepreneurs, investors, any experts in this area have turned into genuine friendships. And I hope I can, I don't know, keep building on these relationships and see where this project and our collaborations will take all of us.
And to yeah, and I'm excited to see where it goes too. And for people that are like, when you started reaching out to people to interview them for the book and stuff, where you're just like, hey, I'm writing a book, it's on this topic, here's some questions or here's how I'm thinking about it. Would love to hear your thoughts. Like, is it kind of as like, I don't want to say as simple as that, but
Yeah, I get when you put it like that, it does sound simple. It's definitely a lot of like cold outreach via email, Twitter, Instagram, any way to get someone's attention and not just using up their time, but see how I could provide value to them in the long run too, whether it's through insights or stories or advice to them. I don't know. It's a lot of the hustle spirit, like the getting over the fear of reaching out to like incredibly talented and busy people, very honestly. I think one of the biggest takeaways, whether for not just marketing or writing a book, but anything in life, is to always be pitching and selling, right? To always be pitching like your startup or like a book or your personal brand. You always want to be pitching because you never know who's listening or seeing you do it. And so you never know if someone might be able to help you or know someone who could help you in an unexpected way. So I guess it's all the hustling and the always pitching, kind of these two things help me get to finish this book, and really grateful for everyone who did help me in the process.
Yeah, I love that. AABP, always be pitching.
I need that as like a sign.
If only we know a creator that can make something like that. Yeah, I think it's, I always say something like, you're kind of like one email away from like meeting a new person, collaboration, maybe like a job, et cetera, and stuff. But it seems like for the book, it was like a constant like reaching out to people that asking to be a part of the book.
And I think when you're at this, when you write a nonfiction book, you don't often know how you want to structure the content or the narrative arc you want to. You don't have that at the beginning. It's not like fiction novels where you know the arc or you plotted it out and then you write. In writing a nonfiction book, it's very much you're collecting interviews, primary sources, stories, and compiling these stories to see what lessons you want to highlight, how you want to group it all together, and then filling in any gaps with more interviews, discussions, stories, and so it keeps repeating.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, building out your own kind of portfolio of your own projects and work experiences and being like, okay,
Exactly.
this, okay, no, this doesn't make sense. That was an outlier, but now, et cetera. Talk to us a little bit about people like content creation for people that are, let's say, have a 9 to 5, or how content creation or being a creator, maybe if there's any stories or examples or kind of learnings from that, if about like someone's like, hey, I'm working 9 to 5, but like, I don't really have time, or I don't really like, I don't know, I'm just busy with this, or like, I don't know if it's like if I have anything to say, or I'm not sure if I know the benefits. Like, what would you kind of say to that person that's like working at a 9 to 5 that, and is maybe thinking about it or should consider thinking about it more?
Well, quite candidly, it's hard. It's really hard to be a creator on top of anything else. And burnout is a real problem. I don't think I've met any creator who hasn't burnt out at some point, especially if you are trying to balance a 9 to 5 or even more intense job than that. I think if you do want to start creating content while having a 9 to 5, you just have to really carve out time, block out time to dedicate to your content. Maybe you don't have to start with like once a week or like 3 TikToks a day. Just start with some schedule and go from there to keep yourself accountable and see if it is something that ultimately you enjoy, you want. Like I personally am a big believer that a happy creator is the best creator. So if it is something that you really enjoy, want to keep doing, and you see the tangible value you are providing both to yourself and your audience, then keep going and see how you can keep developing it while not affecting your 9 to 5 too much. You do this. I would
Yeah, I
love
was
to
gonna
hear
say,
how you balance
am I a hobby creator?
it.
would you consider me a hobby creator?
Well, I can't speak to whether you are a hobby creator, but your content has definitely provided a lot of value. I can say that.
Thank you. And so I guess the question is around like, how do I think about it? Or to me, I mean, like, so I started the show in 2018. And at that time, it was like, I had kind of like a worldview shift and stuff. And that's why I kind of wanted to start the show. My first interview was with my roommate at the time. Mm-hmm. So like starting very, you know, kind of small and, you know, personal and call it scrappy. And I'd never really thought, I never thought that I'd be, you know, 4+ years.
Yeah.
And here we are, but you kind of never know. And then I think after I started the show, then I was a coach in a podcasting course. And then I was like, oh, well, if I'm helping other people launch their own shows, I should probably continue. And so then that like that lasted for another like year or so. And then after that point, then I was kind of like, oh, like this is just kind of what I do. Like I just kind of became a little bit like ingrained and like kind of built out like an internal kind of system, like a workflow kind of system. And I don't know, I just really like the weekly fuel, like be like, oh, what am I going to do next week? Or got to send a cold email to Catherine, you know, and just like, I got to like, I like that because sometimes I feel like we all kind of, I think have that kind of instinct inside of us to like wanting to like be pushing like that entrepreneurial spirit or that inner desire to kind of like build and grow.
Yeah, I've seen content creation be a terrific like creative outlet or entrepreneurial outlet for a lot of people who might not be at the stage of their life where they could afford to have such a lifestyle like full time or want to do it full time, quite honestly. So it's, I think I've seen a lot of like, for me, I really enjoyed balancing like school with content creation or work with creation up to a certain point of battling burnout for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to find more and more like kind of synergies with some stuff. So I've been doing a couple, I've done it twice now, but like an in-person podcasting event. And I'm like, oh, I want to see friends and I want to kind of network, I guess. And I have a weekly show. What about if I like combined it? And then, so that's been really cool. So I think every like couple of months, there's also like a new project or like a new kind of way of thinking about the work where I'm like, oh, this is really fun. Let me try that. Or like in this case, like synergies in terms of like my existing life or like my existing ideas and ambitions. Yeah. And then like, and kind of the podcast.
Yeah. I love that.
Thanks. Yeah. And also the other thing I was going to say is, and I think I said a little bit earlier is like the podcast has led to opportunities. So like my current job has been, is like kind of connected or came about through a couple derivatives of the show. So then it's also like, if you work with people that like know about you through the show or related to the show, then it's not as much of like a surprise to each side to be like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's, that's a little bit about it.
Yeah. That's great to hear. I really resonate with the point of kind of have or finding new ways to, I don't know, integrate your content with your regular life or work or synergy, kind of like combining, integrating that. I think that's something I've been giving more thought to recently, maybe starting a new form of content channel for myself as a way to document my daily life, because that's something I want to do, be more reflective of it, maybe also use it as a content form too. We'll see.
All right. Well, excited to hear more about that and see where that goes. So, and you also talked about earlier, I really like this idea too. And that's probably one thing that I haven't thought about as much as like, and it's probably why this maybe a hobby is like, I haven't really thought about as much of like, it being a business, so to speak. Like, I mean, you probably, I could say like, hey, this is all like loss leader type stuff, or this is all marketing and I don't have a product. Like if you wanted to get kind of like meta about creative, like my creative process and as a business. But yeah, I think that's really interesting about how like thinking about whatever you're doing as part of a business, like your own business, even if you don't really have a product yet. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. It's like the product might not be a traditional product in the sense of like what is a startup or a business selling, but there's two ways to think about it. One, your podcast is the product. Like people are using your podcast to gain insights. Or another way of thinking it is you are also the product. Like the creator is the product. That's what people are there to see or listen to. So I think that there's several ways to approach thinking about this where you definitely are running a business. It's just not quite the traditional business.
And it's not really making any money.
That's a different perspective right now.
Well, cool. And so it's a good time to be a creator. It's important to be intentional and consistent. We talked about kind of the book writing process and some of the, how you've thought about and some of your kind of creator journey and how you're thinking about it now. Is there anything else that you really want to make sure that people know that are out there that are kind of thinking about, either creating content, becoming a creator, or just what kind of like where we are right now in the moment?
Yeah, I guess my one piece of advice I always like to give to new creators or aspiring creators is to always be really conscious about what you are offering to your audience, what kind of value. And generally it falls under like entertainment, which is like, I don't know, comedy skits or vlogs or like anything that provide entertainment to education. And that can go anywhere from traditional education, like the English grammar lessons I mentioned from the TikToker, or product recommendations to, I use TikTok a lot to find like restaurant recommendations in every city I visit. Like it really varies in what kind of knowledge you can provide. And the last bucket I see as inspiration. And then like vlogs inspire people, or I don't know, gym videos, like study blogs. Those like very aesthetic Instagram posts, there's a lot of ways you could offer value to your audience online. Like there's and in very creative ways too. There's a creator I love who sells Notion templates, and he has helped a lot of people kind of organize their life, document and manage their businesses or daily lives. And that's a form of content you don't really think about, but providing very structured and tangible value from the get-go. So I guess that's a piece of advice I would give to any creator starting out. But again, to echo what I said earlier, I think you're the best creator when you're a happy creator. So if going beyond one niche brings you joy, I then go ahead and do it and create the content that you want to.
Love it, love it, love it. And for people that want to stay in touch and want to learn more about the book and your new potential content creations, what are some ways that people can learn more and stay in touch, Catherine?
Yeah. You can find my book, The Creator Revolution, online at my website, catherinehyo.com/creator. It's available for purchase anywhere online, like Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Bookshop. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at catherinehyo. So those are the best places to find me.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Catherine. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, David. It's been a wonderful time.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.